Coming up on All About Android, Florence Ion returns to the show, joining Ann Pruitt, Ron Richards, and me. We talk about how Dark Sky has been bought by Apple, the Astro Slide 5G with a slide-out mechanical QWERTY keyboard, the Huawei P40 Pro, Xiaomi's Mi 10, OnePlus 8 gets a date. Let's see here. What else? So many things to talk about. Google Podcasts gets redesigned, your email, and a whole lot more. That's all coming up next on All About Android. All About Android is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Mint Mobile. They provide the same premium network coverage you used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month with their three-month introductory plan. And get the plan shipped to your door for free at mintmobile.com/android. And by Zapier. Zapier connects all your business software and handles the work for you so you can focus on what matters most. Right now through the end of the month, go to zapier.com/AAA for your free 14-day trial. And by LegalZoom. Make sure your important legal documents are complete with LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout for special savings and see how they can help you. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 466, recorded on Tuesday, March 31st, 2020, your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell. Oh, say that again, Ron.
And I'm Ron Richards on
there we go. With a little bit of a face palm. I like it. But who else is here?
And I'm Florence Ion.
Welcome back, Flo. And one more person?
I'm Ann Pruitt.
All right. We did
hey.
It. Somehow or here. Another, we got there in the end.
Yeah, I was so diligent. Like, I was like, I'm going to mute myself while Jason's doing the top of the show. That way, no noises will come through. And I didn't click unmute. I apologize. I got so worked up by welcoming the Flo back. I just got so excited. I didn't know what buttons to press.
Yeah, Ron, you were saying that we don't have anything like special planned for Flo. That was it. That was our return back to the show. Flo, it's great to see you again. Welcome back.
I'm so happy to be back.
Definitely.
I'm so happy to do this because, you know, with everything that's been going on, I really missed you guys and it's kind of lonely over here for a multitude of reasons. And so this is just a great excuse now. Now you guys have to hang out with me every Tuesday.
That's right.
So you have to stop ignoring my WhatsApp messages now because I'm
it's a joy. It's a joy.
What messages? What?
Ignore. Never. It's great to have you back, Flo. And it's nice to be able to return to, at least if nothing is normal right now, at least having you back on the show is an extra sliver of normalcy for the show, right?
Yes. And I have a little folder on my home screen of apps that I have been testing during this time.
So, awesome.
You've been stockpiling.
Well, all I can do is like baby phone. So it's like, you know, that's the dance that we got going on now.
Well, and sometimes the beauty is that like when you have a baby, the phone comes in handy too because you got the baby and you're doing the baby thing and you have another hand free.
Careful though, because then they get to be 16 months and all they want is the phone.
Yeah. Mm.
Which is what I'm dealing with times two. So,
And by the way,
especially in this world of, you know, video calls and connecting with family that way. And all they want to do is touch it and grab it. And
well, I've got news for you, Ron. That never goes away.
Great. Awesome.
It just evolves over time into other ways. And it's great to have you back on, Ant. Thank you for hopping on this evening with us as well.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
We have a lot of Android stuff to talk about. We are your Android escape. That's Android, All About Android, starting with the news.
We know there's nothing more that you want in your little hands than more Android news. Right, Ron?
Victor, were you also on mute?
maybe. Okay, fine. I deserve it.
See, I have a mute Victor. Switch. For when I need it, I've got a mute switch, which means that like my foot goes on, comes off, I'm unmuted. I don't know if that makes anything better, but
yeah, it sounded like you were buffering, but I see what you were doing there.
Pretty fancy, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's very fancy. Are you using a pedal, like one of your guitar pedals, to do that? Because
it basically is. Like it looks like a guitar.
That'd be cool if you could rewire a wah wah pedal to a mute, so it just, but it like has the wah part of it. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
It's like tied up. Yeah, it's totally like a guitar pedal, but a mute switch. You know,
you can do some fun things with that.
Flo, we had to start you off with the top news because I from what I understand, you have thoughts on this top story.
Well, I wrote you and I was like, please let me rant about this today. This is terrible. The first thing that happens to me when I come back to All About Android is one of my absolute favorite apps that not only I rely on, but my family relies on. You come after me, you come after my family, you come after me. And this is what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And you all know I'm all about family right now, like really intensely.
She's a new woman right here.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Apple has acquired Dark Sky. And I found out on Twitter this morning from Kevin Toffel's Twitter account. And I was so upset. I had to wake my husband up because he stays up last night with the baby, and I had to wake him up and complain about this because it was just awful.
Well, why is Flo? Why is Apple acquiring Dark Sky a bad thing?
I mean, it's not a bad thing for Dark Sky; it's a bad thing for me.
How come?
Because the Android and Wear OS apps will stop working July 1st, which will be here Victor, before you know it.
Victor, cue sad trombone.
Sad trombone, and then by then, I mean.
Yeah, that works. Thank sad you. Trumpet also works, yeah.
That was a trumpet? Anyway.
Higher than a trombone.
So.
It's a new show, Flo, that you come back to, by the way.
Things have changed a lot since you've been gone.
The remote version of this show is mayhem, so get used to it.
Yeah, and okay. I have a new goal of pressing every single one of these buttons, so. By the end of the show.
Great. I was like trying to be super professional, but I'm also like, I have to get back into it because I've kind of lost my ability to talk without just saying mommy and daddy every other word. So, you know, it's okay. Gooey Gaga, back to. So those who paid for an active subscription, which I have been a subscriber for a couple of years of Dark Sky, it was like $3 a year. They will receive a refund, which in these hard times, I'm looking forward to getting that $3 back. Because let me tell you, I want to buy some avocados with it. Third-party apps that rely on the Dark Sky API. So we're talking about apps like Carrot, which I have brought to the Android app arena in the past. They have until the end of 2021 before it's shut off. So if you really want to hold on to the Dark Sky API until then, you can. I am not going to be doing that. I'm already like, I need to work on breaking up with Dark Sky. I need to find a new widget. I need to find a new weather service. I will tell you based on my anecdotal experience that the weather apps that are unlocked by the Play Pass are not just, they are not a replacement for what Dark Sky offered me. I don't know if it's like the simplicity of the Dark Sky UI, the straightforwardness of the Dark Sky notifications, or just the modern look of the widget, but I'm like really bummed by this news because it just reminds me of sometimes why it's a bummer to be an Android user, just for the simple fact that your favorite app gets bought up and then it's
gone.
Hang
on now. Hang on, Flo. As much as I love Flo coming in hot and ranting and basically equating a Apple acquisition to an attack on your family, this is not indicative of being an Android user. All right, yes, because when Dropbox bought Inbox and they Inbox? No, what was that app called?
No,
that great mail app that everybody loved, and then Dropbox killed
it. Yes, I forgot, but yes.
Right. You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
It was an inbox. At least I don't think it was.
Google killed inbox.
Mailbox. That's what it was called. It was just called mailbox.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah. When they killed it, that it was an equal opportunity killing. It happened on all platforms, right? This is just if Google had bought Dark Sky, they probably wouldn't have killed the iOS app, but there's a chance that the iOS app could have been killed. Yes, this sucks, but this is an acquisition woe. I don't think this is an Android woe, although it does suck for you and sucks for all the users on the Android side.
Yes. I mean, I'm looking for any personal
support,
personal thing to take on right now, like just anything. So I'm going to just take this on for a little bit. But I do agree with you. It is an acquisition woe. What's probably going to happen is going to get rolled into the native iOS weather. I don't know. Is iOS still using Yahoo as its plugin?
Oh, wow.
Like back in the day? Because I remember that you would kind of swipe over on iOS and it would give you the Yahoo weather results.
It's the Weather Channel.
Oh, it's the Weather Channel now.
It's provided by the Weather Channel.
Maybe it's going to be folded in. I think that'll be great for Apple users to have that API to kind of, you know, jump into. Somebody posted a link earlier there was a news, I think somebody tweeted me and I forgot to get the link before the show. Sorry. But somebody had tweeted at me that Google has been working on its own sort of like weather station ability. I think it has something to do with like aggregating the weather to kind of figure out like what's going to happen, you know, using AI. So I have a feeling that Google has its own little weather punch that it's going to come through with in the future. Maybe it was something that was going to be announced at Google I/O, but now we'll never know.
We'll never, ever know. Wave County pointed out in the chat room that Apple bought Shazam, and that's still great. Available on Android. Yeah, it's got to be something about like this weather being baked into iOS. That makes a whole lot of sense as far as why.
Lock up the property, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And it's messages. I wonder.
But suddenly I'm blanking on the thing that everybody wants on the iOS ecosystem.
iMessage.
It's iMessage and Dark Sky. Both lock-ins for users.
Now that said, I understand Flo's appreciation for this app, but I do not think a weather app is worth this much consternation over and admittedly, I am not a Dark Sky user, so maybe I'm missing the boat on something here.
I have not had a lot of excitement except for a baby crying to have her diaper change and to be fed.
It's fair.
So I'm looking for anything to kind of hold on to right now, but it's true that I'll probably be over this in a day.
Here's the better question, Flo. What weather app will you move to?
Mm-hmm.
I need to try out to see. I was trying to see if I could find the link that the person sent me, but I can't seem to find it right now to the Google thing that was being alluded to. I don't know yet. I'm testing actually a couple weather apps on a phone that I'm testing that I get through the Play Pass. Because again, I'm trying to use the Play Pass, trying to figure out if I can make complete use of the subscription that I'm paying for there. So that's where I'm going to start. And if I find something worthy, I'll let you know. Maybe I'll bring it to the arena.
I've got an idea for a weather app.
I got one.
Oh, yeah. What's yours, Ant?
It's called WT Forecast, as in WTF.
Nice. Is there cursing involved?
Well, sometimes. But right now, when I check the weather for Petaluma, it says, it's a great day for naps, followed by naps, you know,
because it's
61 degrees outside and it's pretty bland and not a lot of activity today. So it gives you little interesting quips like that every time you check the forecast. Sometimes it's NSFW. It's pretty funny, but it's just another way to look at weather and not give you a high, low and precipitation. Damage.
Jason,
forecast.
Jason, what's your weather app recommendation?
I was just gonna say, if you've got a Pixel, you go to the home screen and there's like a little weather thing up there, and you tap it, and then you've just got like weather there.
I was literally going to say I have a little sunshine icon that just and it gives me a little frog who dances in the fog or the rain or whatever. And the Google Weather app is fine to me. I've never,
It even has 10-day forecast. That's even in here. See, 10 whole days.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
By the way, speaking of weather and Google and 10-day forecasts, and I might have mentioned this on the show before, and I apologize if I'm repeating myself, but if you're ever bored, ask your Google Home or your Google Assistant on voice to give you the 10-day forecast, because it is the most convoluted mishmash minute and a half of your life you'll ever listen to. Because for whatever reason, the way they explain it is they go, well, today through Tuesday, weather will be in the 60s, but then Wednesday through Friday will be – and it's like trying to do it in a narrative style, and it does not work. Right. It's hysterical. So,
But you got to give that AI a little bit of a nod for trying, though, because it's not totally robotic, right?
Yeah.
True.
But still, it's just very funny at how it just it's trying to find strings of common weather, and it just reaches sometimes, and it just goes on and on and on, because 10 days is a very long time.
It becomes very confusing, way more confusing than just saying, and Saturday it'll be this, and Sunday it'll be this.
Yep.
Just FYI, I managed to find what I was alluding to. So Google posted a blog post back, and I dropped the link in the chat, Victor. Google posted a blog post back in January about the Nowcast, which could use machine learning to basically figure out the weather in high resolution.
Oh, really?
So using with the help of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, known to some of us.
And we'll never know if Google had anything up its sleeve for Google.
No, because they have nowhere to announce it. I mean, there's no way that they can announce it online.
No, there's no possible way they could do like a blog post or announce it that way. Definitely not.
Only way they were going to do it is if it was on stage at the Shoreline. There's nothing else happening this year.
If you can't get the photo op, then what's the point?
Exactly.
Technology in a nutshell.
You can't invite Getty Images to take images for the image library.
Images. So speaking of Google, one of the yearly traditions in addition to Google I.O. is Google's fun that they have with April Fools. Not going to happen this year. Business Insider got a hold of a Google internal email that basically confirmed that Google is bypassing April Fools this year. Which means that we won't see cool things happening on the Android apps, like Google Maps has played a lot and all that sort of fun stuff they've done there. And I got to admit, I don't blame them. This was a conversation I've been having for the past couple of weeks of my day job because of the state of the world. And I know we're trying to avoid it and be a distraction, but just like it feels like playing jokes on the internet tomorrow probably was a little tone deaf. And so I'm personally, as someone who works in social media, I'm glad to see Google kind of taking the high road here and not, manipulating people and knowing what's real and what isn't, because in this day and age, we just need to know the facts. So
absolutely.
I think skipping a year is probably good for everybody. And so curious, as we are here now recording this the night of March 31st, to see who doesn't feel that way and what companies will come out with April Fool stuff, because I'm sure there's someone's going, people need a distraction.
You're going to get it both sides, Why not have Google do like memes or something, because that's what everybody's sharing anyway in this time, just to sort of break the ice and break the tension, is just having fun with different memes. It's a change of pace, and it's not news about the bug that's going around. I mean, they could do anything that wouldn't necessarily make them tone deaf, unless they joked about something like there's been a vaccine created.
Oh God, that would be awful.
Yeah, that would be not a good idea for
especially for after the recent faux pas.
I mean, I wish that they would continue with it because they have enough reach to spread some good cheer and a good change of pace on this here internet that we love, and get some of the dark clouds out from over us for half a minute or so,
Maybe it's a logistical issue. Maybe the person who's working on the April Fool's joke
doesn't have
doesn't have any childcare, And we all have to take care of our own children now because there's school.
We are two stories into the show, and I'm wondering if Flo's mentions of family is we're going to need a counter, right?
Sorry, guys. This is all I do.
Look, it's her life right now. Yeah, it's all consuming. I feel you. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see tomorrow who goes the direction of no, it's insensitive to make light of whatever it is they think is insensitive, versus no, people want a distraction, people want to laugh. This is, and you know you're going to have both. But apparently Google's not going with the joking thing.
Yeah, my prediction is that people who decide to go with it are going to get a lot of criticism tomorrow. That's my prediction. So. We'll see if I'm right.
Because people just like to complain.
I was going to say, criticism is pretty hot right now. So, yeah.
Listen, the internet's built on one thing, criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bricks and also criticism. Pipes.
That's true. All right, Anne, you got the next one.
Yes.
All right, so we got some rumor news. Well, actually, it's not really rumors. According to the folks at Android Police, LG is dropping their work on the G series line of phones that they've been doing over the last couple of years, and they're just going to stick with the V series line. Now, for those that don't know, the G series is more of their mass availability line, where it's giving you somewhat premium quality hardware, but you're going to get it at a little bit less of a on a lower price point. So you don't necessarily have to go out and buy the flagship, but you're still going to get a decent quality. Apparently, they're just going to go ahead and let that go and just stick with their upper echelon of flagship phones. LG did give a statement to the folks at Android Police later on, reading, for 8 generations, the LG G series has introduced bleeding edge technology to consumers around the world, from super wide angle cameras, which everybody just loves so much, to flexible displays and high fidelity audio, quad DAC and 1440p displays. The G series has consistently been at the forefront of smartphone innovation since 2012. We look forward to sharing more details soon.
Do we get a little funeral music, Victor, or what?
I don't know.
Where's Taps?
Yeah, maybe Taps music. Okay, we can do some Taps right now. It's fine.
Yep.
I don't know if it's officially dead, but that's what they say.
I was going to say, what about some resurrection music? I mean, we got Easter coming soon, you know, and when our Lord and Savior died, he rose again.
So, wait a minute. Did you just equate LG to...
Wow.
To our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, I just did.
Oh, man. Yeah, she's been gone for a while now.
I've been at home. I've just been with a baby and my husband, and he's the only one who's been taking my jokes. So now you guys are getting it. Anyway. He's a saint.
I think this is fascinating considering the state of the economy right now. When you look at this, is this more of a move of, you know what, it's going to cost us, you know, less money to just drop that line and focus more on the flagship? But then it begs the question of, you know, just how many of those flagship units are they pushing to say, you know what, it's worth us doing this and just putting more focus on those flagships. Personally, I have no desire to buy an LG phone because of the user interface. And our guest last week, Mr. Andrew, right? He went in and talked about the user interface just being as wonky as it is. Having that nice hardware, but if the usability stinks, it could be a pretty frustrating experience.
But, and I really want to get your hands on this phone because I want you to test the photography abilities and the video abilities of this phone, because it is like the V series specifically.
Yeah.
Because they're very impressive. And also, I mean, if you talk to Juan Bagnell at Some Gadget Guy, he will tell you about the audio abilities of this particular line. This is like, they just put everything into this phone. This is the creme de la creme. This is the Cadbury egg that hasn't been sitting on the shelf all year. This is the new batch of Cadbury eggs.
So now you make me want the Cadbury eggs.
I've been thinking about them too. That's why.
But that's what they always do with the V series, right? I mean, like, isn't that what they kind of pack as much as they can in there? The G series to me was the, and by no means did I ever use an LG phone. I don't like them, whatever. But the G series is the one that was modular, that like had the wacky stuff. Right. Like it was, like they said, it was an innovative line. And, you know, they tried stuff that failed more often than it worked. And I'm kind of sad that they're not gonna, you know, I'm hoping they come up with a new platform for innovation, because yes, it was wacky, but it was still fun to talk about. It was still fun to look at, you know.
Maybe they'll do something like Samsung, where they will, maybe they'll use CES to kind of show off, you know,
concepts.
Something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Concept. Exactly. We'll concepts. Sorry. I got distracted because I accidentally, my smart display thought I said OKG.
You should ask at the 10-day forecast.
We're not doing that. I'm actually going to mute it to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you know, 30 minutes later.
If you look at it like from the chipset standpoint, running more so of those 700 series versus the 800, it's mm-hmm. again, that's a big cost difference. But people that aren't power users probably don't notice that much of a difference in the performance, and the battery may be just a touch better. So again, it makes me say, well, why are they dropping this? I mean, are they just selling that many flagship phones?
I don't know. I mean, is it a desperation move to kind of cut their losses it wasn't Samsung. What was the company that stopped? Maybe it was HTC. Maybe it's an HTC move to say like, yeah, we've just got to focus. We're only doing this particular
OnePlus
category.
Did that. I thought OnePlus did
Yeah, OnePlus is what I'm thinking of. They're more along the lines of keeping it at that value price point kind of thing, but still giving you some performance that you can live
they were going to do a flagship and then an affordable phone. And then they said, bleh, forget it. And that affordable phone is really good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the X. Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to talk about more about that actually a little bit later.
I will say someone in the chat room did mention, someone said, yeah, Cousin of Josh said, I remember when LG was rivaling Samsung in actual market share. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. And I just did a quick search. And in 2017, LG reached as high as 20% of the smartphone market share in the U.S. So that was with the V20. So LG had a foothold that has been trending down. So maybe this is a reaction to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it was with affordable phones, because I mean, the LG, those are the phones that you will see at like Metro PCS and at like MVPNOs. Like they'll offer them along with like the Samsung, what is it, J series?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's so many phones on the market that I need to like get back into my brain.
Good luck. You need to hang out in some carrier stores.
Right now, 24 hours.
Right now is probably a really great time to hang out and just get inside of some carrier stores.
Or avoid a carrier store, right, Jason?
Yeah. Yes.
Like our next.
That's true. You don't even need a carrier store. Great segue, Ron. Let's take a break, thank the sponsor, and then we'll get into some hardware news. Although we've kind of already been talking a little bit about hardware, but apparently we've got a lot this week. But if you want to avoid the carrier stores, it's the perfect way to do it, especially right now. You don't want to go into a carrier store, right? You can do it all online with our sponsor, Mint Mobile. And we're happy to have Mint Mobile as the sponsor of All About Android. If you've looked at your wireless bill lately, you're probably paying too much. You may have noticed that. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've just been paying what you've been paying. You haven't paid much attention to it. Well, it's 2020. Network coverage is better than ever, no matter where you're getting your internet from, no matter who your wireless provider is, it's just good all around. So why pay more for the same service? Well, that's where Mint Mobile comes in. They can cut your bill down to $15 a month for the same premium coverage that you're already getting. I know what you're thinking. This is too good to be true. But really, these guys, they know what they're doing. I've been using Mint Mobile for months now, ported my number over from Fi over to Mint Mobile. I haven't noticed a difference, and that's pretty awesome, I have to say. The bill is so much less than what I was paying on a regular basis with Fi. And service-wise, I don't even notice a difference. Your old wireless bill pays for expensive retail stores, like we were talking, and overhead. That's why Mint Mobile reimagined how you buy wireless and made it all online. So they're passing the savings directly to you. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text, plus fast 4G LTE. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. That's what I did. I ported my number over. If you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. So to get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month with their 3-month introductory plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free, that's right, you don't need to leave your house. You don't need to go anywhere to get this. They'll ship it to you. Just go to mintmobile.com/android. That's mintmobile.com/android. It really is a game changer. You can cut your wireless bill to $15 a month with their 3-month introductory plan at mintmobile.com/android. Check it out. We thank Mint Mobile for their support of All About Android. All righty. We've got some interesting stuff coming up right now in hardware. Not sure on the name of this device.
I know the name is a little. I like it on paper. So I'm gonna tell you about a phone, and then we'll talk about the name. How's that? Our good friends. I never heard of them before tonight. Planet Computers have a new smartphone, and it's got a QWERTY mechanical keyboard. Right, so that immediately got my attention. Right, it's got a 6.53-inch FHD Plus display with an in-display sensor. It's running the MediaTek Dimension 1000 chipset. It supports 5G. It's got 6 gig of RAM, 128 gig of storage, a 4000 milliamp battery, a 48 megapixel rear camera, a 5 megapixel selfie camera running Android 10. And Planet Computer says it will add a multi-boot option for supporting Linux. This is just a fun, neat little device. There you could see it. It's going to be March 2021 for $991 on Indiegogo. And this phone, which is, you know, definitely curious, is called the Astro Slide 5G.
Mm. Cool. Mm.
Maybe. I mean, I get the slide. I get that because it's got it's, you know, kind of bringing back the Sidekick and the sliding keyboard kind of thing. Astro Slide just brings up some different connotations, I think. Nope. Maybe. But yeah, maybe.
So isn't I know where you're going with there.
We don't need to fully go there. We'll just let that be.
I just wanted to say that I knew.
Family friendly show.
That Planet Computers, if I recall correctly, Michael Fisher was carrying around the last version of this phone.
Yep.
And he did a whole video on it. It was Android based. He said he could get work done on it. It had a full QWERTY keyboard, and it was also, if I recall correctly, I think like a kickstarted, crowdfunded sort of thing. So I think this is the second iteration of that. It was second generation version.
The first one was the Planet Gemini.
Oh,
that's a better name. That's a better name.
I like that name a little bit better. I think what's interesting to me about this is when you look at the keyboard, it's not like if you're listening to the audio podcast and you hear a slide out QWERTY keyboard, like I don't know, my mind jumps automatically to something like the Droid or whatever that has like a traditional super flat keyboard or whatever.
These HTC Windows phones.
Yeah. These phones have an actual mechanical keyboard. Like, it looks like they're clicky. I don't know if they are clicky, but it looks like they're deep enough to be clicky.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I'm wondering who is the target demo for this? Who's the target customer? I like the idea that you can run Linux on this because that keyboard seems like it would be ideal for Linux nerds wanting to get in there and do some terminal stuff. Who is the target market for $1,000 for this particular bit of hardware?
I mean, it's nerds. Yeah, I think it's nerds. I think it's nerds. It's people who, you know, who are looking. I mean, it's on Indiegogo, so that's going to tell you something there. It's a concept. It's something, you know, kind of off the beaten path. It's a different approach. I mean, it is different, and it's why I like it conceptually, because it's something different than what else is out there. Are you going to get the support? Are you going to get the ongoing security support? Like, all, like, you got to, when you're going down this route, you got to realize that, the, you know, the folks at Planet Computers are fine, and I'm sure that they're building a nice business, but they don't have the backing of a Samsung or backing of a Google or whatever in terms of guaranteeing support for that long term. But it's a, it's an enthusiast phone, let's say that. Enthusiast.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. I dig it.
Kudos to them for, you know, making something different, if you will, and then having two USB Type-C ports. Wow. It's pretty big.
We big heard difference. You like USB Type-C.
Maybe.
Well, on a phone, that's a huge, I mean, you can put in a little dock, and then you can like get your work done like this.
Yep.
Yeah. So, sorry to everybody listening to the audio version of this such podcast. I'm pretending to type on the world's tiniest
keyboard. On a tiny keyboard.
Yes.
I think what's also interesting to me is like, so the keyboard is the full landscape, you know, dimension of the phone with these keys that look like keys straight off of, like I said, a mechanical keyboard, but yet you're still punching it with your thumbs. So it's this interesting kind of like cross germination of old school keyboard with new school typing approach, you know, with just your thumbs. I don't know. I would love to play around with this phone. Don't think I got the chance to see the original one. I know we had Michael Fisher on at the time of his review because I remember him talking about it on the show, but I haven't seen one of these in person. Would
never
love
seen
to.
It. Yeah, I've never seen it in person. That's the real kicker there.
It's neat. It's neat. We'll see what happens. Cool. Indiegogo is still going strong, and you can get on there. Actually, I just looked at it. You can get the device less than the $900-some-odd, I think. They still have amounts of it, 83 left at the 542 price, so 40% off. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, sounds like
pretty
you're
sure someone on XDA will have it, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure. Oh, definitely. I would love to play with this. I would love physical. I loved my physical keyboard 10 years ago.
Yeah. All right, Ant, you have the next one.
All right. So Huawei, the company that I love that I can never seem to get my hands on any of their devices here in the U.S., they've announced some more flagship devices, their P40 series, starting with the P40, the P40 Pro, and the P40 Pro Plus. The biggest differentiation between these three devices, it all starts with the camera array, but you're going to be getting these pretty large phones at 6.1 inch to 6.58 inches OLED displays from 60 to 90 hertz. The Kirin 990 chip that they're so proud of. And when you want to talk about the cameras, the P40 has a triple array versus the P40 Pro and the Pro Plus having a quad and five camera array, ranging from 50 megapixels on the main camera and 40 megapixels and to the ultra wide and 12 megapixel telephoto. Man, they're packing a whole lot of features into these phones. And again, it's quite impressive with what Huawei continues to do with their hardware. But they're just trying to do their best to lure you away from the folks at Google and not have you running Google Play. That's great if you're over there and can get your hands on the phone. But over here in the U.S., I don't know about that.
Not so much.
No, not so much. The pricing is going to start at about 800 euros up to about 1,400 euros. You have to do the math to figure that out in dollars.
Yeah, again, Huawei is a company that creates really great hardware. And right now, you know, in particular, they're put in a position where they're really great hardware and there's software that they're really trying to go toe-to-toe with, you know, the likes of Google, especially now that they can't have Google apps and services on the phone. They're trying to make an appealing product to, you know, inside of markets. Like if their primary market is China, it's maybe less of a challenge because there are a lot of phones in China that do not have any Google apps and services, maybe a little bit more known to have a device there that doesn't. But when you're marketing to all of Europe, like that's a big, you know, again, it just goes back to that standard kind of big mountain to climb for anyone to say, like, well, wait a minute, what about my favorite apps and services? They're not on there. At the same time, Huawei makes really like beautiful devices. And I'm sure their software is great, but does it compete?
They still have the best folding phone, in my opinion, from a hardware standpoint. That thing is just outstanding.
Apparently now, Scooter X posted in the chat, now Huawei is hoping to get Google Apps in the Huawei store. Like, maybe that's a way around it. I don't know how that's going to work out.
I mean, it's a wet loophole are they jumping through?
Maybe. Yeah, right. They're trying to anyways. They're getting stuck in the loop, though. And they can't move.
That's a developer pun, folks. Developer pun.
So, all right, Flo, you got the next one.
Yeah, so talking about another big smartphone brand overseas, that would be Xiaomi. So they announced the Mi 10 series that it's coming to the UK. It will be available in standard, pro, and light variants. It will include a 6.67-inch full HD AMOLED display at 90 hertz refresh rate. It will have a Snapdragon 865 with 5G capabilities, and the light will have the Snapdragon 765G. It will have 8 gigs of RAM, 128 or 256 gigs of storage, and between 4,500 to 4,780 milliamp battery, depending on the model that you get, as well as differing quad camera systems. So the Mi 10 will have a 108 megapixel main, 13 megapixel ultra wide, 2 megapixel macro, 2 megapixel depth, while the Mi 10 Pro will have a 108 megapixel main, a 20 megapixel ultra wide, a 12 megapixel 2x optical telephoto, and an 8 megapixel 10x hybrid telephoto. Woof, that was a mouthful.
Yes.
I say it that way because when you just think about how many cameras have been packed into this thing, like, wow, that's a lot. The company is shifting slowly into the premium market, and these are its most expensive phones to date. The Mi 10 starts at 3,999 yuan, or $575. Mi 10 Pro is 4,999 yuan, which is $715. This is USD. Compared to the Mi 9 in 2019, which went for 2,999 yuan, which was $450. Much cheaper in comparison, or much more affordable in comparison, I should say. The prices are creeping up, kind of similar to what OnePlus has done. So it's kind of interesting to see the way the graph is sort of shifting in phone prices. I mean, we saw this happen here in the US with flagship prices. We were paying between, $600 to $800 for the phone. And now it's like you can't get anything pretty much below $900. Why did this just happened all of a sudden?
Good.
It's a lot of money.
I've got one example of that right here, the S20 Ultra, which is like $1,400.
Also and packed a lot with a mouthful of cameras.
Yeah, also packed with a lot. But I mean, one big thing that people keep coming back around to on these like premium smartphones that are coming out this year is the fact that it has the Snapdragon 865 in it with the 5G capability attached to it. And with the 865, it requires their 5G modem to be installed. And so you're starting to see a lot of these premium smartphones decide, well, you know what? This time around, I'm not going to go with the latest and greatest Snapdragon. I'm going to go with the 765 series. That's what LG is talking about with the story we were talking about earlier. That's some of the rumors that we're hearing around the Pixel 5 is that it's not going to have the top of the line processor. It's going to go with a 765, which has an embedded 5G modem. So they don't even lose 5G when they do that. So it's just kind of interesting. Xiaomi, I think here sticking, did it say it is? So it's the 865 with the 5G. So maybe that's, I mean, time and time again, we're seeing these phones with 865 in them and the price suddenly elevated here. And Xiaomi is no different. They're tipping more and more into that premium price range. Maybe it has something to do with that.
Yeah, that probably also makes sense. This 5G thing has just been astronomical, like how quickly it's moved. And I, again, have seen no fruits.
How quickly it's moved and how slow it's moved, all at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, everything's 5G now, and also you're going to be paying for it. So here you go. Here's your paying for something that you don't necessarily, you know. Yeah.
I remember going from the 3G to the 4G LTE band years ago and thinking, I'm not going to see much of a difference. And I didn't see much of a speed difference until 4G was taken away from me for whatever reason, went somewhere that didn't have that coverage.
Right.
I'm wondering if it's going to be that way with this new spectrum out there. And I mean, is it that much of a difference in speed that we'll see on our devices? And will people even care?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think no matter what, like in my experience with technology, when it comes to faster speeds, you get used to it whether you realize you are or not. And then like you say, suddenly you revert for whatever reason and you just realize that you're like your firmware has updated. That's now the new, the normal. And anything less than that is just painful. But when do we get there with 5G? You know, again, it comes back around to the fact that there's multiple flavors of 5G. Some 5G requires line of sight, and you're not going to have that all the time. And so then it reverts to a slower speed. All these little variables, which make it more of a spectrum, no pun intended. But once we realize the benefit of that, and I don't know how that applies to everybody. Is it downloading music or movies, or what is the thing that makes us go, oh shoot, I need 5G for that now? And I still don't know that we have that answer. There is no
like,
go ahead, Miss Flo.
My understanding is that 5G is just going to help us more with helping the traffic on the network. So making it so that, you know, that very emotional Verizon commercial where they use our first responders in California during the fires and how 5G is going to help them. That's where it's really going to count in those sort of bulk situations. Whereas the majority of us out here in the burbs aren't really going to see much of a speed difference or anything of the sort. If anything, we're just going to maybe see less crowding on the networks, you know, but again, like Jason said, it's a spectrum thing. It really depends on where you are, how that's going to be implemented. And so I just think it's a really interesting, shift to have even Xiaomi like include that in its marketing message and have them say like, we need to make this a priority.
Yeah.
Was it like four different flavors of this 5G? Something like four.
I mean, I'm aware of low band, mid band, and the upper band. So three different like bands, let's say millimeter wave. That's the thing. It gets really bogged down in confusion as far
it's
as like
three flavors. By the way,
it's essentially three.
It's a couple of
flavors. Yes.
Three flavors.
So it's Neapolitan. It's
multiple
vanilla,
different
chocolate.
Types of technology and delivery.
It's the Neapolitan 5G.
Yes.
5G is basically great. Neapolitan ice cream. Yeah.
Yes. And awesome. I always only eat the chocolate part and I leave the vanilla and the strawberry for everybody else.
It's Neapolitan. I love it. Well, this is along the same lines. We've been talking about this company on a couple of stories now. OnePlus, you know them. You've heard of them. Well, apparently they have a new device coming out soon. This is about the time of year where they usually release their next number iteration. And this time around, it would be the OnePlus 8, the OnePlus 8 Pro. They've tweeted about an event coming up April 14th. They're going to have an online event. And they say, lead with speed. Either that or it says lead with speed, but I think it means lead with speed.
5G.
Yeah, right. So what does that mean? In a deep dive on the OnePlus forums, OnePlus said lead with speed refers to a number of things. A new 120 hertz display. This is up from 90 hertz for their last generation of phones.
Blazing.
Snapdragon 865. with speed improvements on the processor, as well as, of course, the 5G support that we were just talking about a few minutes ago. LPDDR5 RAM, which boosts the bandwidth considerably, and UFS 3.0 storage, along with something they call Turbo Write and Host Performance Booster. And I don't have any comment on that last part. But so there you go. It's going to be a much faster phone, which is kind of what you hope for a next generation device coming out under the OnePlus moniker. And we're going to find out more about that very soon. Also, other leaks point to a new mid-range option for OnePlus. We were talking earlier in the show about the OnePlus X. That was 2015, kind of like their mid-range offering that they never really followed up on. Now it's going to supposedly happen again, this time as known as the OnePlus Z. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see about that. What's that?
What happened to
Nobody got my joke. Is that what happened to Y?
We got it, Flo.
Just got that. We're going to call that a mom joke.
Well, leaning in here. I'm leaning in.
There it is.
No, you make a good point, though, Flo. How come Y always gets left out of these parties? There's never a phone that's
why?
The
why?
Samsung Galaxy Y. That's probably why, actually. Why? Why do I want
the marketing firms know better than us?
Okay. Yes. They have their reasons. Excited for OnePlus?
Yeah.
Always.
Always, man.
Always.
They're doing a good job with you know, showing how it can be done with varying price points and giving you some insanely nice hardware. I hope they hook you up like they did the last go around when they announced a new phone where you can get your hands on it pretty early.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find that.
I think they're super smart to just say, like, hey, April 14th, we're doing it online. I mean, they have already been doing this stuff mostly online anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from what I remember, they would have, like, a smaller in-person event, mostly for press and, you know, the people that you need to invite to that sort of thing. And I think it's great that they're just like, we're going ahead with it. We're going to do it. I mean... Also, this stuff gets planned way ahead of time. So even with everything going on, this was going to happen as it is. Totally. And so,
well, they probably saw what happened at Mobile World Congress getting canceled, and then they had 2 months to figure out what their strategy is and
contingency, right?
You know, yeah. And I think this is the way to go. And I love my OnePlus 7, but like I want to see what they got for the 8. I'll give it a test drive. I think that's great. So I think doing it online makes sense and keep them business moving forward. I mean, despite what's going on in the world, people still need phones, right? And I would love to upgrade my OnePlus.
That's very true. In fact, I would say this is the time that we're using phones the most, our phones and computers the most, because it's really all that we have, the only way we have to connect with each other. And I'm just glad that I have this to look forward to. I mean, come on. Why we've been talking about distractions. This is the kind of distraction I could use. A good old-fashioned phone event.
Yes, indeed. Although it won't be in VR like it was a couple of years ago. You remember when they did that? They had their
sent out the VR headsets to everybody, and it was
It
was a lot.
Always got to give OnePlus credit for trying. They're always trying different things.
Yeah, at least they tried, you know?
Yes, exactly. All right, let's take a break, thank the sponsor, and then we'll get in some app stories that we have lined up. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Zapier. Growing a business is hard. You don't want to be wasting hours every single day moving data from emails to spreadsheets to wherever it happens to go, CRM, all across those different hit points. Shouldn't it just happen? You already know the places that this data needs to go. So you should be able to link them. You really should be able to do that. Well, I've got news for you. You can. Zapier allows you to do just that. Zapier has over 2,000 apps. It's the easiest way to automate your work so you can focus on what matters most. You connect all your business software to do a number of things. It frees you up to focus on the things that matter most to you. You can engage your leads instantly through these apps. So things happen automatically and bam, your leads are generated. Automatically import new customers, notify your team about opportunities. Basically, you use your imagination. You can come up with a really great system, and it's easy to put together. Zapier is also more customizable. They support multi-step Zaps, so the possibilities are virtually endless. Different services. This one connects to that, which connects to that. you can kind of see how the complexity builds, but it's easy to maintain and so powerful. If you're interested in taking your automation further, Zapier has actually created PASS, which lets you set rules creating new routes. So if A happens in your first app, then do this. But if B happens, do something entirely different, and so on. So you can create as many rules as you like. So you can get super creative. Build the solution you need in minutes. No more wasting your time on tasks that you know could be automated, because frankly, that's exactly what Zapier was built to do. So you can just go to zapier.com/AAA. While you're there, you can connect the apps that you use the most. You just look through the list and be like, oh yeah, I use that. Put them all into the Zapier system under your account, and then you let Zapier take it from there. Best of all, it's easy to build the exact solution you need in minutes without writing code or even asking a developer for help. You can join more than 4.5 million people who are saving an average of 40 hours per month by using Zapier. We use it at Twit, of course. I have a Zap that's more of like a personal Zap that takes the stuff that I put into Evernote. If I do like an audio recording, say I'm doing like a song idea or whatever, and I put it into Evernote, it automatically zaps that over to my Google Drive as kind of like a backup. Also, just making it, you know, sometimes I'm more available in Drive than I am in Evernote. I'm not logged into Evernote, but I still want access to that thing. So it's kind of like it duplicates it and it does it all for me. I don't even have to think about it. It just appears there. It's really great. Make more time to grow your business right now through the end of the month. You can try Zapier free by going to zapier.com/AAA. That's zapier.com/AAA for your free 14-day trial. Check it out for yourself and let your imagination run wild. Zapier.com/AAA. And we thank Zapier for their support of All About Android. All right. Just a couple of things on the docket for apps. Let's dive in.
You know. Oh, yeah. I was looking through my little media folder that I made on my home screen, and I remembered that just the other day I removed Google Podcasts from it.
Wow.
I know. It's still installed on my phone.
Thank you.
There it is.
It's still installed on my phone for scientific reasons. But I mean, there's, okay. There's still
you demoted
a long
it.
Way
you demoted it
go.
From the front. Yeah, you demoted it from the front. That's significant. It's still on your phone. It's still on your phone. It's just not on the front. And that's the big step.
And so Google redesigned the Google Podcast app. So while we were on break, you know, I went in there to kind of refamiliarize myself with it. And I don't know, guys. The new UI is supposed to focus on discovery. It's newly organized with a tab for home, explore, and activities. Those are at the bottom, kind of the new navigation standard for Android apps. There's added support for playback queues and auto downloads, which we did not have before. And I just went in and I checked on the queue, and you know, it shows you like your recent activity, what you've listened to. They also relaunched this for iOS users, so there's going to be a nice synergy across platforms. And also last week's Tech News Weekly had Google Podcast founder Zach Renaud-Widin on to talk about the redesign. So there are a lot of like positive things to garner from this, but I'm still, the reason I wanted to kind of start off with a wah-wah sort of introduction is because even with the new UI, which looks so much nicer than what we had before, that discovery engine is just, it's still offering me the same stuff that I'm not interested in. And that's the key for me there. So
the promise of the algorithm versus the delta of the results.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to put it on.
I think we've talked a lot about Google Podcasts, and I forgot that you had that guy on Jason on Tech News Weekly. I need to go back and listen to that because we've talked for years about the potential of Google could harness podcasts and what they could do with them and all this sort of stuff. And it seems like every other year they move it an inch forward, and there's only a little bit, you know, a little bit of progress made here and there. But it's not the Valhalla that we all hoped to Google getting in the podcast game would be.
It's one of those things where you would assume Google would know you, Flo. I mean, it's Google. They would be able to do a better recommendation to you because of all of the other ways that you're plugged into its services.
Exactly.
So bizarre.
You go into my feed and it's like 90 Day Fiance, Android News, followed by Celebrity News, followed by World News, followed by Tech News. I mean, I'm pretty transparent. All you have to do is just deliver. You already do the YouTube thing so well and the feed. The podcast thing is kind of on the same wavelength. I don't steer too far. Instead, it's still telling me to listen to Joe Rogan, which I'm just it did offer for me to listen to the Tiger King podcast that predated the Netflix special that's out right now, but that's just because everybody has been talking about Tiger King. That has nothing to do with me specifically. So you know, we got a lot of work to still do on that algorithm. So
that's true.
That's for sure. That's an understatement.
I like the fact that they're responding to all of the bad reviews because people are complaining about the UI change. I never will understand that.
If the UI
is going to change, you're going to have to get used to the UI changing. That's even down to the OS level. Android hasn't always been the way that it's been, but you know you get used to it. But it looks like they're responding in the comments with their reasoning behind the UI.
Yeah, that's cool.
I have a feeling
the transparency.
Yeah. But I have a feeling that the Venn diagram for people who complain, who leave bad reviews for games, is the same people that leave bad reviews in the Play Store.
That's fair. That's good analysis there, Flo. I mean, good for Google trying to make an effort, though. So I support that.
And we all know that Google, the one thing that they've really got going for them is design. So.
That's true. It's true. You're not being facetious there, right?
Wait, like, did that sound like no? I was being 100%.
You're not being sarcastic.
No, I was not being sarcastic. I'm very like design is a very important thing to Google. So they do a lot of
some of our favorite people are in design at Google, right?
Exactly. And that's why I also know that is I know how committed these people are to design. Yep. So.
Exactly. Well, Google is trying to do some good in the world too. In the app side of things, if you look over at, of course, the good folks over at XDA doing an APK teardown, looked at the Google Play Movies app, and it seems as if that app is due to receive an update that is going to roll out free movies with ads. So there are strings in that APK teardown that reveal this new feature, and it looks to be hundreds of movies, just a few ads, which on one hand, ad supported content is a great way. Like, you know, there's so many movies out there and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, nothing, you know, kind of it does grind me a little to, you know, to have to pay $3.99 or $4.99 to rent a movie or whatever it is. And this becomes this value proposition for you as to whether or not watching a couple of ads is worth, you know, your time in order to watch the movie. If you don't want to pay for a subscription service like Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatnot, it's just another option. The question will be, are the ads intrusive? What I don't want to see happen is 45 minutes into a movie, it stops it and rolls a mid-roll ad. Nope. Like that cannot interrupt the content.
Probably gonna,
Let's hope not. But what if it was running? What if they did a lower? What if they like a little like the on TV, the network TV, where the little lower third pops up promoting something? Like, is that enough?
The side kind of grows to the side, and you got a thing on that. I doubt they're going to do that.
That's the thing, though. It seems crazy to us. But if you watch broadcast TV, they do it all the time on that content.
Yeah, and it's a pain to me anyway.
True, but you're not paying for it, and you still watch it.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of live television except during football season. So that's
normally when I see it.
And then when those little lower thirds pop up, it pops up right over the top of a critical statistic I was reading. Or
eat Doritos.
And it pisses me off. But yeah, I don't know if they could do it that way in this service. I'd rather it just be a pre-roll, get it out the system, and let you enjoy your content after that. Similar to how you watch movie trailers when you go to the theater after paying $15 for a ticket.
Yeah.
I actually. Oh,
is that, is that what you're talking about, Ron?
Victor, there's no need. I actually don't mind the movie theater, because the people complain about seeing ads before movies and things like that. And I do think that you're gonna like the seeing the theater. This is totally off a tangent in another direction. But seeing a movie in a movie theater is an experience that hopefully you want to see continue. And if rolling a couple of minutes ads in front of the movies help the theater continue to exist, I'm okay with that. It's this constant give and take that we do with our content, and the society's need to have free content and not have to pay a penny and complain whenever there's any sort of advertising type thing. But then the moment you charge for it or then increase prices for it, people flip out because content isn't worth anything. And so like at some point you've got to meet it in the middle. And if you don't want to pay for content, you're going to have to pay through your time. And if that's through ads, as long as it's not intrusive and interrupting of the content, then, you know, good for Google trying to try a model that no one else seems to be really trying. So,
yeah, I feel you.
I think this is a response to a lot of the free with ads content that's coming too. Like Pluto TV is really, really blown up. Especially since Viacom like threw them a bunch of money and they've got so much more content added to the roster. And the fact is that you can just go on there and you get all this free on-demand content, and all you have to do is stick through ads that you can't forward through. So you have access to all sorts of archives of different TV, all sorts of classic movies, some of which are, I would say, Criterion Collection archive sort of movies. And you just have to kind of sit through a very badly placed ad, like Ron said, because sometimes they just kind of splice it in there. They don't really account for the breaks or anything. But I think that when Ron was reading this news, I was kind of like going, yeah, because I'm one of those people that I turn my subscriptions off and on. The only one that I keep forever is YouTube TV. Because I'm not always watching them. And so for this, it's kind of like, well, if there's nothing on YouTube TV, what's on Pluto? It'd be kind of nice to kind of pop into the Play Store and see what is free-ish in there. So,
yeah, I will say from my perspective, I don't mind an ad that plays in the middle of content because I feel like it's just kind of part of the ad, you know, experience within a movie. Like, of course, as a movie purist, I hate ads in the middle of my movie and breaking it up. But I don't mind it if it's done, if it has to happen. I don't mind it if it's done appropriately. If it actually picks the end of a scene and a good scene, does it gracefully. But that never happens.
That will never happen because nobody's
45
taking,
minutes into this movie, and by God, whatever's happening right now, here's an ad.
nobody's taking the time to put in the markers in the right places. And if you ask me, what they need to do is they just need to roll a couple ads as a pre-roll, and that's the price you pay. And they need to figure out how that works, or figure out some sort of display while you're watching that doesn't obstruct, that is like that lower third or to the side or something like that. I think that is really interesting. And you know, who knows what they're going to figure out? So we'll see. I mean, but I do think this is an interesting move, and I subscribe. I'm like a flow. I'm the opposite of you, and that, you know, I've got the laundry list of subscription services. You know, and I prefer not to see any ads, but I'm happy to pay for the content for that trade off. So we'll see. We'll see what Google does. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for what Google does. All right. Michael sent an email, AAA@twit.tv, about Google Drive file structure. I was pretty unaware of this, so I thought it was an interesting email. We could talk about it. Michael says, I can't make any sense from this article. And by the way, Michael linked to an Engadget article, which I didn't think was very good. So in the show notes, I have the Android Police article that I found, which I think is better, Michael. So definitely read that. But it says, I can't make any sense from this article and hoping you all can shed some light on this change. I hope Google does not change anything too drastic as I have built my family's document storage over the last several years using Google Drive. I love it and use the folder method of document organization extensively. So what is he talking about here? Well, Google is making a change to how, I guess, files and folders are shared within Google Drive. And apparently this is a change that a lot of people have been asking for. From my understanding, this is how the old way is. Someone shares a Google Doc with you. You add it to your drive. When you do that, it's detached from the original so that each of you has your own instance of this doc. Any changes made aren't kind of combined. I think that's what I'm reading here. Although I know that, you know, sometimes we share docs and everybody's in the same doc. But I think the difference here is like when you're copying it to your own drive, totally could be misunderstanding it. If anyone on here or, you know, through email understands this better than I do, let me know. Apparently, the new way is going to go a shortcuts-based approach or an aliases-based approach, kind of similar to how it's done on the Mac, where a file stays in its original place, but when you copy over or kind of essentially place the shortcut, it links to the original file, but you can put that shortcut in any folder or any location that you want. It kind of looks like the same file, but it's still going to take you to the original to edit. I read like 5 different articles on this trying to understand because I've just never thought of this before. Maybe I'm just like so used to how Drive does it. I thought it was already doing this to a certain degree as well, but reading these articles leads me to believe that it's not. And a lot of people are happy about this change, and I still don't know that I fully understand it.
I need to test it.
I haven't run into this yet either. But I also I use Drive so often and so smoothly that I don't know if I would notice a change or it didn't get in my way, I guess is the way I can say it. I just added a doc someone shared with me to my Drive like this morning. So yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to keep an eye out for it for sure because I use Drive every day.
Is there differentiation between regular Google and G Suite perhaps?
I think this is the same across both. From what I understand, it's going to affect all Drive users when it goes into effect. And
how will it affect Chrome OS? I'm also curious about.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Nobody uses Chrome OS. So
no, just me and Jason.
And all the kids in school.
I have a Chromebook right over there.
True. At
2 arms reach, Mr. Richards.
I'm just jealous. All the kids in school is also the other one because I had my neighbors the other day were like, I had to go out and buy a computer because I didn't have enough computers for the kids.
Yeah, that's one byproduct is that I do think we're seeing Chromebook sales probably skyrocket this month.
Out of sheer necessity.
Yeah. Yep.
Totally. So, Michael, I don't know if that's helpful. I really did spend time on this because I was like, all right, I feel like I'm missing something. I kept reading these things, trying to really understand what the problem was and how this is solving it. The closest I could get to it was the example that I mentioned as far as like Macs and aliases, because like I've interacted with Macs enough to like see that happen and be like, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. But I don't know why it was a problem before. I always assume, like, if I copy this file into my drive, yeah, of course it's going to disconnect from the original file. It's now my version of the file. Mm-hmm. But maybe people don't like the way that works. I don't know.
See, this makes me think when I've been fortunate enough to co-host with you on Tech News Weekly, you shared a rundown with me and I had to make notes in it and so on and so forth. Yeah. And I'm assuming I'm not totally destroying your document. Because I do have a rundowns folder, if you will, on my drive that includes the Tech News Weekly rundown. And when I know I'm going to be on the show, I go to my drive and go to my folder where it is and do whatever I need to do. And you're able to see that stuff change in real time. So I don't see why this isn't already happening.
And hasn't for years. I don't know. Maybe it has more to do. Like I'm looking, they even have an example like shared with me, shared drives. And like I'm trying to see if maybe it has something more to do with an actual file as opposed to a document. But no, even there, they're using it as the document as the example. So I will say I'm probably as confused on this as Michael is. And yes. I would love anyone who's watching or listening to let us know what your understanding is. Or maybe you fall in the camp is like, thank you, Google. You're finally doing this. Email me and explain to me why you are thankful of it. Because apparently a lot of people are. AAA@twit.tv and we'll read it next week on the show. But yeah, it's kind of confusing.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm definitely going to pay attention for it. So.
All right.
I'm also going to pay attention to thanking our next sponsor and our last sponsor of the evening. We want to thank LegalZoom because this episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. And despite what's going on in the world and there are extensions and things like that, but taxes, it's the one thing everyone in business has to deal with. You've been dealing with it this time of year. You got a little more time this year thanks to everything that's going on. But as a business owner, it's critical to know all of your options when it comes to taxes. That's why you should lean on LegalZoom. I have a small business myself. Every year we have to do our taxes. And I, no joke, after New Year's, I email my partners. I say, let's start doing taxes. Let's get it done as quickly as possible. And we're doing our best to navigate it to make sure that we're not screwing it up. And LegalZoom is exactly the kind of place that can give great information and guidance to help us not screw it up. So LLCs, DBAs, S-Corps, you know, they all mean different things when it comes to paying taxes and limiting your personal liability. That means there's a lot to think about. But with LegalZoom, you don't have to worry about doing all that legwork yourself to find the right answers. It's all there for you. It's the resource waiting for you. They have a ton of resources to help, including their network of independent attorneys and tax professionals. They'll provide the advice you need to ensure you're operating your business the way you want to. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you'll save time and money while avoiding hourly fees. So whether you need to incorporate, form an LLC, or set up your business another way, use LegalZoom to maximize your business's potential and make your accountant happy. And let me tell you, the best investment you can ever make is a good accountant. It pays in the long run. And LegalZoom will help you make the decisions to get set up for success and keep that accountant very happy. So to get your business on the right track for 2020, go to LegalZoom.com today and enter promo code AAA in the box at checkout for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code AAA, LegalZoom, where life meets legal. Thanks, LegalZoom.
Thank you, LegalZoom, for zooming in that legal sort of way that you do, that only
who's
you
zooming
do.
Who?
All right. Too bad we don't have a bumper for the arena with that song playing, but we don't.
Oh, it's time for that'd be nice.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
It feels good to hear that again, doesn't it, Flo?
It does. Sorry, I heard a phone vibrating somewhere. I'm like, what is it?
Twit.to/AAApoll465 is where you went to place your vote for your favorite app last week. I'm pulling it up right now, and it appears that, let's see here, it was Ant's app, right? Brain
that.
It On. Nice
look at
win.
That. Look at
oh.
that.
35% wow. of the votes for Brain It On. Good job, Ant. Nice you, first Kelly. Place win. Second place, my app, APK Mirror Installer at 30%. Third place is Cascade. That's Ron, 17%. And fourth place, NPass Password Manager, 15%. Actually kind of surprised that was so far down. Like a password manager that you keep on your phone, it's you're totally in control. I thought people would dig that more. Mm-hmm. But there we have it. Yeah.
So, and with that, with those results, a major turnover in the arena standings, you know, for Flo, the whole time you were out, you're holding your own, and it was great to see, and you had a nice solid position, but I'm afraid last week just knocked the house of cards over. Through 12 weeks of the arena, Jason is now in first place with 30 points.
Wow. Jason!
Yeah.
The guests are in second place with 26 points. I'm in third place with 24 points. Flo, you were in third place with 23 points. And Ant, you know, held his own, 22 points. Listen, everybody, there are 8 points between first and last place. It is anybody's ball game now. It's almost like a big reset button was hit here in the arena. So, yeah, it's good times.
Anybody's ball game.
For Flo to come back. Yep. So
March 31st, 2020. It's anybody's ball game. Anyone could win, which is so very true. So does that mean, Ron, you go first?
I think it does. I think it does mean I go first because I did Ron, come in last. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Ron, me. We'll put Flo in the usual the guest mid spot, and then Ant.
Yeah. So I tried to. I don't have a screen share or anything like that. I didn't take a video, so we'll use the screen caps from the Google Play Store. I'll fix that for next week. I promise. But trying to program. We're all at home. We're looking for entertainment. Everyone is flocking to their home entertainment systems or their tablets or their laptops and watching streaming video and all this sort of stuff. And for years and years and years, I've used Just Watch for my kind of TV show research and that sort of thing. And honestly, that app, they've made some changes and it's been annoying me. So I've been looking for another kind of app to track TV shows and to search things and things like that. And I came across Hobi, H-O-B-I, which is a TV series tracker. And it is also a tracked client for TV shows, and I'll get to that in a second. But if you take a look at the Google Play Store screenshots there, so it's got a very nice, elegant design, and basically it allows you to you can tell it what TV shows you watch, and it'll give you go back to the first screen there, Victor. I'm sorry. Go back to the countdown. Yeah. So if you say I watch Game of Thrones, well, these screenshots are a little out of date, but let's say I watch Westworld, it will show you in this nice little feed when the next episode of your TV show is coming on. Which is a great kind of feature there, because it's always like, okay, when's the next one? You always want to know what's coming next. Then you can also go to the next screen. You can track episodes across seasons. So let's say you're binging, you're going back to season one. You can keep track of each episode that you've watched. You know how much more you need to watch, and it's a great way to stay organized in that way. But the great thing for this is the Discover feature. So they do have a tab that is dedicated purely to discovering new TV shows in the next screen there. And from here, you can search for shows. You can see what's trending, what other people are watching, what shows are coming back. Because how often do you watch season one of something and then months go by? And when is season two coming around? This will bubble up returning content for you. And then the last thing is that it is a client for Tracked, which I don't know how many of you are aware of or use Tracked. I don't know, Jason, Flo, Ann, are you familiar with the service?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I've not used Tracked.
Tracked is a really cool way to automatically track what you're watching. If you remember Last FM and Audio, they had the Audio Scrobbler, which would automatically send. Tracked does the same thing, but for TV. So it's compatible, and this is a whole other conversation. And there's no, it's kind of not really an Android conversation, but it's a platform that works with Plex, and it works with Netflix, and it works with VLC, whatever, Kodi, a whole bunch of different platforms, and it basically scrobbles what you're watching. And if you use Hobi in relation to Tracked, Hobi can become your client for Tracked on your phone. So automatically everything you watch is sent up to Hobi, keeps track of the episodes. It will make recommendations based on what you watched. It's a really nice – the Hobi app really kind of makes that Tracked experience complete. So it's really, really cool. There's a premium version of this app that will that when you use it, when you unlock it, and I just want to get to exactly how much it is. So it's $7.99 a year, or right now it's 50% off for a limited time. You can get a lifetime premium membership for $9.99. So for $10, you can have this app for your lifetime, and it gives you unlimited device support, removes ads, gives you advanced statistics and insights about all your TV stuff, custom notifications, and a ton of other great features. So, Hobi just really seems to be like the creme de la creme of both TV tracker as well as working with Tracked. So if you're looking to kind of level up your binge watching while you're home, your TV watching experience, Hobi, it looks like the way to go. I didn't even touch on all the statistics. They have a whole stats, insights engine that will tell you how many hours of TV you've watched and how many total episodes and all this stuff for you number geeks that are into it. So Hobi, free in the Google Play Store and limited time, 50% off, a lifetime premium unlock for $9.99. So – there you go. Very cool.
Love it. Well designed. Looks good. The Tracked integration.
The Tracked, it's so funny because I meant to play with Tracked a while ago and got distracted because, I don't know, babies. But now that I'm home as much as I am, I'm going to see if I can get tracked set up with my Plex instance and just start tracking my TV. I think that'd be pretty cool. So
yeah, absolutely. Right on. Yeah. It's called Hobie TV Thanks. Series tracker and tracked client. Good pick. All right. I will go next. Maybe you remember through the many games that I brought on this show over the years that I'm just kind of a fan of the classic old school arcade games. Missile Command was a big favorite of mine.
Yes.
If that ages me at all, for those of you watching and listening. And we have an official Missile Command game releasing for Android. It's called Missile Command Recharged, and it is by Atari Inc., or whoever Atari Inc. is run by now anyways, taking the IP and making something with it. And I have to say, it's actually a really great game. I put some gameplay footage in the dock, so it's there if you have it to play. I did record it on my device, so the audio that you're hearing is coming through the speaker because there's no way to record the audio directly. But it's really, you know, the straight up game mechanics from Missile Command from back in the day, except obviously things have been updated. There's some like power ups that fly across the screen, and if you get them, they do things like give you rapid fire capabilities, or they'll explode everything that happens to be on the screen at any given moment. You can see down at the bottom. Well, but you can't really see it because the lower third is covering it. But you've got a lot more missile kind of, I don't know what you call them, vessels or houses. I don't know what they are. But places that shoot missiles. Wow, suddenly I can't talk. Whatever those things are. So you've got a lot more targets down at the bottom. How's that? To protect. And, I mean, things get really difficult really quickly. But you don't need a trackball to do it, right? Because now we're on a touchscreen, so there's no need for a trackball anymore for this game. And I think they just kind of did a really great game, really great job taking an old classic and kind of giving it a new spin. So it's called Missile Command Recharged. If you're a fan of old school games, this will be very familiar to you, the mechanics of this game, and it's worth checking out. You can find that in the Play Store. It's free. There is a $2.99 version that removes the ads from the experience. Actually, skip forward a little bit on this video. After I lose this round, there's an AR mode that I jump into, and it allows you to put a game cabinet into your room and then play the game that way.
Look at that.
Which is pretty silly, but still pretty neat. Like, I put a full-size Missile Command game console or game cabinet in my in our bedroom in the corner. And,
played the game that way. Happy.
That's awesome.
Thankfully, when I close the app, the cabinet disappears, so she doesn't have to see it.
Thankfully.
Missile Command Recharged in the Play Store. A lot of fun.
Nice.
All right, Flo, your triumphant return. What you got?
Okay, so I have been playing around with a new phone, and when I play around with a new phone, I like to try and get into the aesthetics, see if I can make my own, my home screen and everything just kind of match all nicely. And also, I'm switching phones soon, but I don't want to leave the launcher that I have. So I went in search of an icon changer, because every time I find an icon changing app, the one that I was using beforehand usually gets deprecated, and then I can't use it anymore. So that's a bummer. This one is called X Icon Changer, customized app icon and shortcut. So it works kind of how you would expect an icon changer to work, in the sense that since it's not a launcher, what it's doing is it's actually creating like a little widget for you when you're changing the icon. So, sorry, I'm trying to like follow along here on my phone. Wow, I'm a little rusty doing these.
So, welcome back.
So what you do is you log in, you search for the app that you want, the app icon that you want to change, and then you can choose from your library. You can choose a photo, you can snap a photo, you can take a photo choose a photo from the gallery. And when you choose a photo from a gallery, it lets you go into different icon packs so that you can choose the individual icon. It also lets you, I don't actually know how to use this part, but you can apparently map it to a different app if you want to, that sort of thing. And then when it's done, when it's ready, it creates a little widget for you on the desktop, and then you can move it around the home screen wherever you would like for it to be. If you don't have any icon packs installed, it actually has icon packs pre-installed. It has, I think, 7 different aesthetics that you can choose from, icon aesthetics. It is kind of just a nice, easy way to go in, change an icon. On some phones, the only thing to pay attention to is that it will add a little watermark, but you can remove that if you go into your Google settings. So just something to keep in mind. The only thing about this app that you might run into, which I wish there was a pay to remove ads feature, because you will have to watch an ad every time you change an app. But if all you want to do is change a couple of apps on the home screen just for aesthetics purposes, the way that I do, I find that this is kind of an easy, free way to do it. And you don't have to worry about changing the entire launcher. The app also has really good ratings, 4.4 right now out of a little over 15,000. So kind of a nice thing to keep in mind. And it's regularly updated. So another thing to keep in mind. So if you're looking just for an easy way to change some icons, X icon changer.
Nice choice. X icon changer in Play Store. Alrighty. And then, Ant, what you got?
Well, my app is a little bit different because, quite frankly, everything that I tried to suggest, you all have already reviewed and demoed, made it really,
it's
well,
very hard.
Well, there have been a lot of shows.
It's very hard.
Oh, my goodness. But I do have another app, and it's Live ATC. And this is one of my favorite apps because I love airplanes, and I love going to different airports. And I love listening to all of the chatter on the squawk from the air traffic control people. And how I like to use this... it was really popular for me back when I was living on the East Coast in the summertime. We would have all of the storms, the tornadoes and stuff coming in. So it was fascinating to fire up Live ATC and search for the Charlotte airport and listen to the channel to see how they're guiding all of the planes that were coming in as they're trying to battle the storm, get around it, be rerouted from Atlanta to Charlotte or Greensboro to Charlotte, so on and so forth. And every now and then you'd catch some funny conversations between the pilots in command and the traffic controller, because it's a stressful time and people can get a bit snarky and have a little bit of a short fuse, if you will. So depending on the time of day and depending on your region, you can get some pretty interesting conversations. And if there wasn't anything necessarily going on there in the South, I use this app in companion with my Storm Chaser, Storm Radar app. I'd look to see where the storms are and then find the different airports that were nearby, put those into Live ATC. Typically, I would listen to the ground crew or the tower, and that's where all of the fun conversations were. They try to be professional and you know, keep everybody safe, but every now and then, especially during those tense times, it was fascinating to hear what those pilots in air traffic controls were saying to one another. And this app is free. You can also couple it with another app that was reviewed previously here on the show. It's called Flight Radar. As they're calling the planes in, if you're near the airport like I was, you could see the planes coming over your head and pull up that app and just sort of follow them along while they're in conversation. It was pretty cool.
Love it.
I love it.
Live ATC, live air traffic
control.
Right on.
Try it out with airports like JFK and, you know, up in New York or Atlanta, SFO, all of the busy ones. It's going to be a lot of activity there. I would turn on ATC just as white noise at time while I'm working. Mm. You know, it's because sometimes you hear something out of the blue, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. Live ATC. Check that out. All right. So we have.
Sorry.
Four. Don't be sorry. You can get excited about these apps. Four great apps.
I was going to ask Ant very quickly if it would be able to catch, because I live next to an Air Force base and they always fly over us, but you can't find those on flight radar. So I wonder if that would, but probably not.
Nope. No, they do have to go through ATC because it's still traffic up there. No, you're not going to see them on flight radar. No.
No. Yeah. Anyway, just a side note.
You could check it out and see.
You can go. You can continue now, Jason. Sorry.
All right. Okay. Twitch.to/AAApoll466. Place your vote for your favorite app. Is it Hobie? Is it Missile Command Recharge, X Icon Changer, or Live ATC? One. Which one is it, according to Victor?
Missile Command.
Of course. Yeah, Victor loves the games.
He does.
Yeah. Has some good music, too. Good pick. Thank you, Victor. I'll send you the payment in the mail. twit.to/AAApoll466, and you can vote like Victor just did, and you'll be part of the poll, and we'll check in on it next week and see where the standings land then, because as Ron said, it's anyone's game right now. But that is it. We've reached the end of this episode of All About Android. Ant, I want to thank you so much for sitting in Flo's place while she's been out.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Always awesome getting you on the show, but having you on the show week after week has been a real treat, and you're awesome. I'm bummed that I don't get to see you face-to-face these days because of the social distancing and all that. But
yeah, unfortunately. But I appreciate you having me on, for real.
Absolutely. And we will, of course, you know, I'll be in touch. I kind of work with you, so we'll get you back. What do you want people to know about?
Hey, I want everybody to know about hands-on photography. This has been a fun show to do starting several months ago. We're now 22 episodes in, and considering that we're all doing the shelter in place and not necessarily getting out and about, this is a great time to pick up a camera, whether it's your smartphone or just a point and shoot that you got gifted a couple years ago. Pick it up and start taking pictures of your friends and family there in the house or your pets. And I did this show as a bit of a course, if you will, not, you know, masterclass or something, where anybody can jump in and start from the very first episode and go all the way through, because I layer each episode on top of each other, where we sort of look back at what we learned previously. So you can just help increase your skill set and get a better understanding of that camera, get a better understanding of composition, and even get into doing some post-processing and a little bit of hacks that I do when I go and process portraits and things like that. So get over there to twit.tv/hop, hands-on
hop
photography.
H-O-P, hands-on photography. Thank you, Ant. Everybody much. Should definitely check it out. Information dense when you're talking about photo manipulation and processing and all that. Ant's your guy. He knows what he's talking about. Thank you again, Ant. Flo, so awesome getting you back on. Welcome back to the show.
I'm so happy to be back.
she's still glowing. I love it.
Oh, thank you. I am wearing a lot of highlighter. I was going to tell you all to go visit Flowfeed, FlorenceIon.com, because while I was on leave in between the baby napping, I was working on the website a little bit. I did some new content stuff. I have a new logo. I wrote a little bit, and I'm reviving the Ask Flow column. So if you would like to ask me a question, get some tech help, you can do that at FlorenceIon.com. And of course, you will be seeing new episodes of Honestly Tech coming soon. So stay tuned for that. There's a lot on my list of to-dos to do. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it. A click over supports me, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
That's right.
Indeed.
FlorenceIon.com. Good to have you back, Flo. And then, Ron, what about you? Always good to see you. What you got going on?
always fun to be here. So you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at RonXO. But real quickly, those of you who follow and listen to the show along a lot know that I've worked many years in the comic book industry doing comic book stuff, podcasts. I'm working for comic book publishers and all that fun stuff. Comic book stores are getting hit really hard right now with businesses being closed. You know, comic book stores really aren't essential businesses. And so a lot of them are struggling. And I know a lot of businesses are struggling. But if you do like comic books, I strongly urge you to support your local comic book store. I put a link in there, Victor, over on the Marvel website at marvel.com. There's a list of stores. If you scroll down, there's a really cool Hulk illustration of Hulk reading comics at home. But there's also a list. Yeah, there it is. If you're stuck inside, might as well read some comics. But there's a whole list of organized by state and also some international, some country listing of local comic book stores and what they're doing at this time. A lot of them are doing curbside pickup or deliveries. Victor, yeah, if you scroll down more, you can see a lot of the listings there. So basically, if you have one in your neighborhood and you're looking to check out some new graphic novels, you can do curbside delivery. They'll ship it to you. You can just buy a gift certificate, you know, and when this is all said and done, go to your local comic shop and spend that gift certificate money. So every little bit helps. And thanks, everybody, for listening for a second. So, yeah. Word. Support local businesses.
Absolutely.
Need to get my comic book shop on there. They are also doing curbside pickup, which I think is great. You can order stuff over Instagram DM, and you can go pick it up.
Nice. They're getting very creative in how they can work around this stuff. And a lot of these stores are just, you know, single owner, non-franchise, small businesses. And basically it's just, they're having their livelihood being taken away from them by this. So, if we can keep as many of them from going out of business, that'll be the best thing we could do. So,
They're getting creative. Everybody's getting creative right now. It's really interesting to see, right? Like times are challenging right now, but it's forcing people to get creative with how they run their business, how they find new business, all this stuff. It's kind of like, well, you don't have much of a choice right now. So what are you going to do? And it's interesting to see how people are coming up with ways to kind of keep things rolling. So that's a really good reminder. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Victor, for going into the studio and pushing all the buttons and everything. We really appreciate it, man.
No problem, man. Oh, boy. I just had to, you know, show off this shot because Burke put this together really good and even changed the light color and everything. So
that's awesome.
Like, so are you guys really distant from each other? Like, you're maintaining a lot of distance, right?
Burke's in the other room.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, but that's standard operating procedure, right? You want to keep as far away from Burke as possible.
Yeah.
So, okay, yes, for sure.
I close the door and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyone that's going into the studio, just to kind of address that, anyone that's going into the studio, we all have to keep, when we're there, we all have to keep at least 6 feet of distance between us. It involves a whole lot of disinfecting. Like if I go in there to shoot a particular thing, like, you know, I wear gloves, I'm wiping things down before I use it, after I use it, we're the whole nine yards. No one's taking any chances or any risks or anything. So
it's been pretty thorough. I've been impressed.
Yeah, very thorough. So nonetheless, thanks for going in, Victor, and recording this. Regardless, you have to leave your home right now. We do appreciate that you do that.
No problem. Yeah. And talking about being creative, also trying to be creative with to-do lists like Flo for the kids while they're at home.
Yeah. Whole lot of creativity going on at home right now, I'll tell you that much. As for me, twit.tv/TNW for Tech News Weekly. Like we talked about earlier, we had the interview with the Google Podcasts founder last Thursday. So check out that episode. Also, Hands on Android, twit.tv/HOA. Last week's episode was a deep dive on Android 11 Developer Preview 2. Coming up this week, I have the S20 Ultra in my possession, and I thought I'd do a video on how I set that up when I get a new S20 or when I got the new S20 and get a new Galaxy S series. What are the changes that you can make on your S series phone to make it even better out of the box? Because Samsung likes to throw in a bunch of extra stuff, let's just say. And some of it's good, some of it maybe not so good. So that's a video.
I highly recommend people go back and watch your permissions episode. I highly recommend that.
Oh, thank you, Ann.
That was a good one.
I do too.
I've always said no one explains permissions better than Jason.
Oh, have you always said that?
Yeah, I've always said that. Way back to like 2008, I used to say
it's
that.
True. So,
yeah. Notable.
It's true.
Yeah, before we ever did a show on Android, you were saying that. It's true. Yeah. And finally, we found out a reason why. So that's it for this week. Thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening. And thank you for subscribing and downloading. We realize your commute might be the time that you normally listen to this show. It's still really important to us that you're downloading, that you're subscribing. And you know what? Make time to listen to the shows that we're doing here at TWIT, because it could be a nice slice of normalcy in an otherwise not normal situation. That's what we're trying to do at TWIT. And we hope that you'll follow us along and continue to download our shows, because that keeps us rolling so that we can continue to bring you shows when all of this is over. So thank you for that. We publish the show every Tuesday evening, twit.tv/AAA. You can always send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. Send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. That's really all there is to it. Just go there, subscribe, and we'll be happy to deliver you another episode next week of All About Android. We'll see you then. Take care, everybody. Be safe. Stay healthy. Bye, everybody.